Oh.
Barith indicated Jericho with his thumb.
The man doesn't want me messing with it, and no offense, I wouldn't anger him. I've seen what he can do, and it's the stuff horror movies are made of. Body parts flailing, blood, lots of blood and torture.
He leaned forward to whisper loudly.
And the woman with us, goddess of nightmares. These two can get you sleeping and awake. You might want to let them have the ring so that they'll go away peacefully.
But...
Delphine stepped forward.
No buts, sweetie. Give us the ring before someone gets hurt.
Barith cleared his throat.
That someone would be you, just for clarification.
The boy's eyes widened before he pulled the ring off his pinky and held it out to them.
I just want to carry to notice me.
Jericho took it from him.
For the record, kid, summoning a demon to kidnap her, not the best way to meet a woman. It usually backfires on you.
Delphine arched a brow at that. Jericho didn't comment on her unspoken sarcasm. The next thing Delphine knew, they were all back in Asmodea in Jericho's room. He turned to the demon.
Barith, back in the ring, now.
Barith saluted him before he complied. Jericho slid the ring onto his finger. Small and gold, it held a single blood-red stone that had a skull etched into it. The ring looked rather creepy, and given the fact that it housed a demon, it was rather apropos.
What are you planning to do with that?
She asked, indicating the ring. He shrugged.
It never hurts to have a surprise your enemies don't know about. Even the toughest of us need the cavalry from time to time.
That made sense to her, and Barith would have nothing to gain by working for Noir. Not to mention, Jericho didn't trust Noir. Even though he didn't say it in so many words, she sensed it in the way he was more on guard here than he had been in the restaurant. He might talk the game, but he knew the drill. She gave him credit for not blindly following someone she had no doubt would turn on him worse than Zeus had. She walked closer to Jericho. His hair was long and blonde again. He had made it short for their brief trip to New Orleans, probably because he seemed to have an aversion to standing out. But now he looked like the god he was, complete with an eye that glowed with color. He was so much larger than she, stronger. She should be afraid of him, and yet she had this overwhelming compulsion to rub herself against him, to have him hold her. In spite of those feelings, she playfully narrowed her gaze.
By the way, I want to revisit that demon comment you made earlier. Isn't that how we met?
He scoffed.
And you see how wonderfully sweet you've been to me as a result of it. You've done all but bite me.
She tucked her hands behind her back and smiled devilishly.
I probably should have done that while I had the chance.
Well, there's always tomorrow. I'm sure you'll get around to it then.
There was no humor in his tone at all. It was deadly serious.
I was teasing.
Sure you were.
She caught him as he started past her.
You don't trust anyone, do you?
What do you think? I'm sure you'll turn on me just like everyone else has. It's not like we're family or even friends. Like Noir said, we're all for sale. It's just a question of price.
And I don't believe that. There is nothing that can make me turn against Madoc.
His mocking laugh rang in her ears.
Easy for you to say. You've never been tested.
And there you'd be wrong.
How so?
She turned around to give him her back. Lifting her shirt, she showed him the scars that she usually used her powers to conceal. Since her powers were bound, she was sure they were prominent now. Jericho paused as he saw the scars she held from a past beating. How had he missed them earlier?
But then he'd been so occupied with getting her covered that he had been trying not to focus on her body, only on concealing it. Because he knew how embarrassing it was to be naked in front of strangers, he had kept his gaze off her bare skin. It was routine for the Honoroi to be beaten whenever they broke the rules. but he couldn't imagine Delphine doing anything to warrant such cruelty. He touched the faint scars as a wave of anger consumed him that someone would defile her body so.
"What are these from?"
She put her shirt down and turned to face him.
"My refusal to pursue Arik when he turned Skotai."
Arik?
He didn't know that name. "He was the Honoroi who came to me when I thought myself human. He tutored me and protected me until I was strong enough to fight on my own. You asked if I had a sibling? I always considered him a brother for his kindness in helping me. Therefore, I refused to hunt him even after they threatened me and carried out their beatings. I would have died before I betrayed what I felt I owed to him."
That was the kind of loyalty Jericho was desperate for. Just once.
He tried to tell himself that he had had that with Nike, but he knew the truth. His sister could have helped him, yet she never had. Not once in all these centuries. She had turned her back on him like the rest of them.
And it made his heart clench that Delphine was capable of it. "I commend your loyalty. It's a rare thing."
She shook her head.
"I don't think so. And I don't think I'm any better a person than anyone else. So if I can stand by my principles, I know other people can too. Case in point, Dimas and Madoc could turn against the Olympians and join Noir. Yet they'd rather be tortured than betray their people. Is that not loyalty?"
"So what?"
he snarled.
"I'm a bastard for betraying the Olympians? Is that what you're saying?"
"No, I'm..."
She paused as if frustrated.
"Forget it. You're beyond hearing me."
That set his fear.